remember to continue to pray for each other, because the Bible tells us to pray for all the saints. And so we need to pray for each other, and we are also commanded to do so. So we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we shall spend eternity together. So we need to encourage each other and pray for each other. Our message tonight, thank the Lord, is out of 2 Timothy 1:7. Two Sundays ago when I was here, the Lord has put this scripture within me, and I actually prayed it a little bit toward the end of the service. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay. I'm new at this. I'm not Mike, nor do I look like Mike. The youth are dismissed. Was I supposed to do that a long time ago, brother? Right then. Okay. Thank you so much for encouraging me to stay with the norm. Hallelujah. So actually, the Lord put this scripture in me 2 weeks ago on a Sunday. And He put it in me in a different way than I'd never seen it. And I'd like to tell you that I understand the full grasp of it already, but I do not. I'm still meditating on it. And I know as days, weeks, months go by, He will even show me deeper things. That's the way the Word of God is. One of the things about the kingdom of God that you need to understand is the increase of His government will never end. It will never end. It says that in Isaiah chapter 9 down through there. What does that mean to you and I? It means we are never going to understand the full knowledge of God this side of heaven, and we're not going to understand the full knowledge of God when we get to heaven, because He's going to keep pouring His wisdom and His grace into us through all eternity. That's what that scripture means. And so don't ever think you've learned it all, because you haven't. That's one of the things I used to love about Uncle Jerry when he was 93. He would say, "I'm still learning, brother." And it's true. He was still learning. And we're all going to keep learning. So the jump-off text is 2 Timothy 1:7. And the Word of God says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline." So we're going to dissect that scripture a little bit and do the best we can to understand more powerfully, or just a little more wisdom on what He's really telling us here. So we're going to start at the first half. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. So my first question to you is, did God give us a spirit of fear? No, He did not. My second question to you is, what is fear? I'm sorry? What does it say right there in that scripture? A spirit. Fear is a spirit. You need to understand that. And it likes to attach itself to human beings. It is a spirit. The Bible teaches that we do not war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power of darkness that have access in heavenly places. These are spirits. So fear is a spirit. I want that clear in your spirit. And then also in 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says fear involves torment. So think about that for a second. That's what fear does. It freezes you up. It causes you not to be able to do the things that you would like to do. For years and years, my wife would not get on an airplane. "That ain't going to happen, honey. I'm just not going to do it." Why? She had a fear of flying. Some people won't climb up a tree because they have fear of heights. Some people won't stand in front of people and speak because they have a fear of public speaking. There's all sorts of fears, but it is a spirit. And if you speak to that thing and act upon it, it will move. It does not have power over you. So we know that it's a spirit. We know that it involves torment. Fear is defined in Webster's dictionary as a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, whether the threat is real or imagined. A lot of the fears we have, it's just a vain imagination in our mind that's blown out of proportion. We just think that something's fixing to happen, and it freezes us up, and we're not able to operate. Okay? A lot of times that's the very thing. But it cannot stop you in God's kingdom. You have power over spirit of fear. And the best way to have power over spirit of fear is what we're going to look at tonight. The second half of this scripture, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, the second half, but he gave you a spirit of power, of love, self-discipline. He gave you a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Sometimes it defines that as sound mind. Okay? Now, I have a question for you. What did God give us? Amen. Let me ask you another question. Is he going to give us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline? There you go. He's already given it to us. It resides within you. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all of that was downloaded into your being. You have this great reservoir of power, love, and self-discipline or sound mind that is dwelling within inside your being. It is already there. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is what happened. It's there. It is. He's not going to give it to you. He's already given it to you. So then comes the deal, well, how come I don't walk in God's power? Or how come I don't walk in God's love? I hate that sister. She gossips all the time. My mother-in-law, she's a hoot. I'm not going to love her. You're crazy. How come you're not walking in God's love? Or how come I can't exercise in the morning? How come I can't eat the right foods if I have this self-discipline? Okay? But it's given to you. But remember, it's spiritual, and you are human, or you are flesh. So you have a fleshly being, and you have a spirit being. That's what happened to you at the birth of Christ. You became a spiritual creature, not just a fleshly creature. Okay, so we're going to look at the power of God, power. So we're going to look at the first word, power. The ability to act, capable of doing or accomplishing something. So we'll go back to my wife for a second. I called her and I said, hey, baby, we're going to do a vacation. So we started planning this vacation, first vacation we had in years because we were always too broke. And now we're not so broke. So we're going to have this vacation and we start to plan it. And she says, well, I want to take all the kids. No, all the kids said they're grown, you understand. They want to go too. So I said, well, you're going to have to get on a plane. She faced that fear and it moved. And so she got on that plane and that fear moved. If you face fears and you make a step in that direction, it's a spirit. It's not a wall. It's going to move if you face it. And it moved. So the ability to act capable of doing or accomplishing something. So fear will have to move if you act in power. The possession of control or command over others. Well, that's an interesting deal. Command over others. Authority. Now, this is out of Webster's. Power over men's minds. This is Webster's. Now, I'm not talking about something goofy like I have some spiritual countenance where I'm going to do some voodoo over your mind and control your mind. That's not what I'm talking about. But think about the power of God. The power of God has control over your mind if you decide to exercise the power of God in your life. If you decide not to exercise the power of God in your life, your mind runs rampant and you are like a city with a broken down wall and the enemy just comes in there and knocks you for a loop anytime he wants. But if you have those walls built in God's kingdom and you are exercising the Word of God, which is the power of God, then He does not have free access to your life. You can stop Him cold in your tracks. Okay? John 1:1, let's look at this. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word was? And was God. You got it. All right, John 1:14, he says, the Word became flesh. This written Word stepped out of heaven and became flesh. Is that not power? That's power. That is the power of God. So the Word of God is the power of God. Now, I'm going to present something to you that might sound a little bit goofy, but if you stick with me, I think you'll see what I was seeing. Power, love, and sound mind, I relate that to the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So I'm going to kind of God does these things in threes quite often. But so we're looking at the Word of God as the power of God, as God Himself, but it's His power. The Word of God is His power. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." So if you live by the Word of God that proceedeth from His mouth, you'll be walking in the power of God. Then all these things that have tried to shipwreck your life won't have power on you, because you're embracing the Word of God as the truth of God, and it will set you free. Well, then you might say, well, Jack, the Pharisees knew the Bible more than anybody. But yet, the Word stepped out of heaven and stood in front of them, and they didn't recognize Him. So the Word of God without the Spirit of God is not going to do you any good. Are you hearing me? Because the Word became flesh and was walking right among them in the streets. And they knew the Word of God inside out. But yet, the Word of God, who came in grace and truth, was walking among them, and they could not recognize it. Okay? So, the Word of God is the power of God. He stepped out of heaven. He became flesh. Romans 4:17. Now listen to this. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He is a father in our sight of God in whom he believed. He was talking to quoting Abraham's situation there. The God who gives life to the dead and call things that into being that are not as though they are. Remember, God spoke the whole earth into creation. All the stars, all the animals, He spoke it into creation. The Word was powerful, and He spoke it. He spoke to Jesus, and Jesus stepped out of heaven, and the Word became flesh. Now He's telling us here that He calls things that are not as though they are. Now, get this. Did you know that you were created in the image of God? The total part of that creation came when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because now you have a godly DNA that is dwelling within you. So you are much more like God than you were before you accepted Jesus, because now you have this great reservoir of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost living in within you. You've got the love of God, you've got the power of God, you've got the Spirit of God living within you. And we can speak things into being just like God did. I'm not trying to go somewhere really goofy, like when they laid hands on Porsche cars in some churches and believe for that. That's not where I'm going. But I'm saying for your families, because you're agreeing with the Spirit of God. The Bible says things like, I desire that all men be saved. So that means you can pray for your brother or sister and just keep praying and believing God. And if the Spirit of the Lord speaks that to you, you just keep praying and believing, and you're calling it into being. That is not as though it were. It will happen. It may not happen instantly, but it will happen. God has given us the same kind of power when we agree with His Word. If we battle against His Word, then it's not going to come to pass. Or if we get a pompous attitude and think we're greater than other people, and the Spirit of God is not the one feeding us the information, and we pray not according to His Word, it's not going to happen. The Bible says things like, you and your household will be saved. I will take that to my grave, sister. I will take it to my grave for my family members. I will pray till the day I die for every member in my family to be saved. Why? I'm agreeing with the Word of God. And if I'm agreeing with the Word of God, what can I expect? I can expect it to come to pass. Now, ultimately, they still have to make their own decision, but all these marvelous things start to happen when you start agreeing with the Word of God. When the Spirit brings you inclination in that direction, then heaven and earth starts moving, kind of like the Lord was prophesying through me. He'll shake heaven and earth. All of a sudden, He assigns. Does not the Bible say that He assigns holy angels to those that are being saved? So all of a sudden, all these, here I am, I'm not saved. I'm just running around, and somebody starts praying for me. And then all of a sudden, all these holy angels are assigned to my account. All of a sudden, when I'm listening to the drunk country and western songs, I'm all of a sudden being drawn by the Holy Spirit, even though I'm half looped. I'm, what? What is this? what's going on? Something's happening in my heart. I might have had a hard, foul, vile heart, but something starts happening because somebody's praying for me. All of a sudden, people will come up and start witnessing to me. God will put things in your tracks to turn your heart to home, even if you have a hard heart. Why? Because somebody's praying for you. So don't ever discount your prayers. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. When you accepted Jesus in your heart as Lord and Savior, you were created in the image of God. That means you have the same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. Is that scripture? It is scripture. In you, and it will give life to your mortal bodies. You know, your mortal body is your fleshly body. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me see. If the Spirit of God dwells in me, He will give life to my mortal body. So, I have a leg that's all messed up. I don't really. I'm just giving you an example. But the Bible says that the Spirit of God dwells in you, He will give life to your mortal bodies. So I can agree with that prayer and continue to pray and believe that that leg is going to be corrected. Now, I don't know when it's going to happen because the Bible also says, be patient in your affliction, but faithful in your prayer. So don't give up praying. Don't go by what your eyes and ears are telling you. Go by the Word of the living God. Agree with the Word of living God and pray those things. And then I can expect, as time goes by, something will happen. Now, He may choose to give me instruction. Now, some people don't understand that. Back in the 80s, you had a lot of precious saints that refused to go to the doctor. They weren't Scientologists. That's just where the faith movement was at the time. I ain't going to a doctor. And y'all might have been some of those. I ain't going to the doctor. But guess what? Elijah told the guy to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Well, how do we know that the Lord wasn't sending some kind of healing balm through that river at that moment? We don't know that. That may have been medicine. Why didn't He just speak to him and be healed? So what I'm saying is the Lord will give you, and you can expect this from God. When you start praying for a healing or praying for a certain situation, God will give you specific instruction on what you need to do. Now, but you have to train your ear to hear it. My example, I'll give you one example. I was dying, and I was going to die, and I went to have treatment, and the treatment was going to have a 12% success rate. I said, I'm sorry. I'm not going to go through a year of being violently sick while I'm trying to work, and this is not an exaggeration, 80 or 90 hours a week because I was kicking broke, and that's what it took to support my family. I wasn't going to do that and be violently sick all that time for a year because that was what was required for a 12% healing rate, nor was I hearing the Spirit of God. So fast forward about 6 months later, I'm having a prayer meeting with my children. I'm discipling around the table, and we're praying, and the particular topic was, Jesus is the head, we are the body. Guess where you get your instruction? From the head. Right? That's pretty simple theology. I mean, if He's the head, we're the body. The head tells your hand to move, it moves, the foot goes up, and you got me? So I told my children, I said, hey, let's do an exercise and see if this God is real or not. They said, okay. They said, Daddy, what's the exercise? And I said, pray to God, pray to Jesus, and ask Him to give you instruction on what to do this week. I'm going to guarantee you He'll honor that request, and He'll tell you something to do. And then go do it, and let's get back next week, and we'll talk about everything. So we got back next week on the following Thursday, and everybody's all excited. Jesus told me to do this, and I did it, and this was the result. Jesus told me to do this, and I did it. This was the result. And then they all looked at me and said, Daddy, what did Jesus tell you? And so remember, we don't always understand the fullness of what He tells us when He originally tells us, because we also fall in traps when we try to determine we understand what He told us. And I said, well, He told me to go to the doctor. And I said, I think that means I'm healed. So I went to the doctor on Friday. Lo and behold, I wasn't healed. And I thought, well, this is interesting. And then I was talking to the doctor, and he said, hey, you know, you're still young and strong. They got a brand new treatment out with an 80% success rate. You got to go through a year worth of therapy, and you are going to be sick. But 80% success rate, you're the perfect candidate because you're a strong male and you're still fairly healthy. And I said, all right, I'll do it. So I understood. You got to use a little wisdom. I wasn't healed. He just told me to go to the doctor. He didn't say, go to the doctor to see if you're healed. That's the way I originally interpreted it. He just said, go to the doctor. And lo and behold, they got a brand new treatment. I wouldn't have known that if the Holy Spirit hadn't prompted me. So I went to the doctor, and I went through the treatment, and I was healed in 1999. So I get to live out all my days now. As a matter of fact, this Lord Jesus that I serve and that you guys serve told me that I'm going to live a very long life. He told me that about 7 days ago. I have longevity in my genes. So, but anyway, I was glad to hear that. So the point that I was trying to make there is the Holy Spirit will bring you the Word when you need it. But you've got to train your ears to hear when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Okay? And that's really where we're going. You just have to learn to access this power of God. Okay. We're going to talk about love for a few minutes. I love this church. I want you guys to know that. I'll stop and exhort for a minute. And I know we don't preach church. We preach Jesus. But I'm one of these lucky individuals that have been discipled by some really, really good men of God. I didn't have to go through a lot of junk. Some people have to go through in bad churches and things like that. I've been in some really, really good churches in my life. This is the best one I've ever been in. And I'm not exalting this church. I'm just saying it's because you guys. You guys love the Lord. This is a very healthy church. We have freedom to move in the Spirit of the living God. We have freedom to hone our relationship with God. You've got freedom to ask people that have walked with God for years to assist you. Just remember, fellowship is so important. Because the spirit of the age that we're in, and I know I'm going down a rabbit trail, but give me a second. The spirit of the age we're in, the Bible says, because of the increase of wickedness, many people's faith will grow cold. We are in that season. So, brothers and sisters, guard your heart. And what the enemy likes to do is separate you from the flock. Any good general will tell you the same thing. If he can get you away from the flock, he can beat the snot out of you. How does he get you away from the flock? That sister didn't hug me, so I'm leaving. I'm mad about that. Oh, my gosh, come on, guys, get real. You know, let's grow up. We're here to love each other. And I used to preach something about 2 years ago, and it might have been 4 years ago, but I still love this statement today. There's problems everywhere you go. There's problems in your family. There's problems in the church. There are problems in your work. There's problems everywhere you go. You don't be part of the problem. You be part of the answer. You got me? Purpose that you're going to be part of the answer. You're going to love them. You're going to help them walk with God no matter if other things are falling apart around you. Okay, I'm off that rabbit trail. Love you, Lord Jesus. I'm just sharing my heart with you guys. Is that okay? I'm not a seasoned preacher like Mike, so don't expect that. I'm an exhorter is what I am, and I know that. So when I have to teach, it's a little bit different deal. But with God's grace. Okay, so we were looking at love. 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love of God that God has for us. God is love. So we're going to stop there for a second. What is God? Pretty clear, isn't it? Not a complicated teaching. God is love. Now, what did He put in your heart when you were born into God's kingdom? Love. It's in there. You may not be exercising it, but you got a whole boatload of love in you waiting to explode on the world. And God wants it to explode on the world. On you first, and then on everybody else second. That's what He put it in there for. God is love. And of course, everybody knows this because this is the wedding scriptures. What is love? This is, I guess this is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, does not boast. I hit 3 grand slams last week. Just wanted you to know that. No, I'm lying. Hallelujah. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Did you know God doesn't keep record of wrongs in your life? When you confess the sin, poof, it's gone. If you go to God and say, hey, I need you to forgive this sin, and he goes, I forgave that last week. I don't have a clue what you're talking about. It's selective forgetfulness that only he can do. Love does not delight in evil. I'm so glad that that sister stumped her toe because I just didn't like her. And I'm glad that that happened to her. That's evil, brother. You're right. Thank you for exhorting me and correcting me. I appreciate that. Love rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Wow. I'm going to protect my children. I'm going to protect my wife. I'm going to protect you guys. Love always protects. Love's always trust. It always hopes. It always perseveres and never fails. And God is. And he put that where? And you're not going to get it. It is already there. It is already there. Okay? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, but whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Are you going to perish? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Raise your hand. Come on. Yes. Okay. So, are you going to perish? No. Why? That's the truth of God. Are you going to have eternal life? Yes. Notice in that scripture I just read, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. So I'm going to stop there for just a second. What did God do with his love? He gave it. He gave it. So he gave it to you. He gave it to me. He put it down with our hearts. And we are created in the image of God. And he put this love in us. So what are we supposed to do with this love? Give it. We're not supposed to. We cannot survive if we lock this love in our heart. Bless me. Bless my children. And I'm fine. I just have trouble with the brothers and sisters. Just bless me and mine. No. God loved you so much that he sent from heaven. He turned his word into a man. The man's name was Jesus, and he gave us this love, and he planted it in our hearts so we could give it to all humanity. And you were designed, created in the image of God, and we have to give that love away. We will go grow extremely stagnant in our faith if we don't learn to give that love away. Because it was designed and it is so powerful, we can't contain it. And if we try to contain it, it just really starts messing us up. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. When you accepted Jesus in your heart as Lord and Savior, this great reservoir of love was placed within you. He is not going to give it to you. He has already given it to you. Just learn to access it. All right, so we talked about the Word of God being the power of God. We talked about love, that is this great reservoir of power and love has been placed within us, and we talked about learning how to access it. Now, the third part is a little different scenario. He says he's given me a sound mind. He says that he has given me self-discipline. Most of us are not very disciplined people. So what is exactly he's talking about? How does this discipline work? How does this sound mind work? So we're going to look at that. You might say, well, Jesus made a profound statement when he was talking to his disciples. This is John 14, verse 23. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home within them." Where is Jesus in the Father's home? and us. That's exactly what that just said. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Did you notice that he said we are going to hear his words? Wow. We are going to hear his words. Now, I'm going to present to you that we hear his words all the time. I talk to Christians all the time and they'll say things like, I never hear the voice of God. Because Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. But I present to you, the voice of the living God comes to you all the time. You just haven't learned how to understand that he's talking to you. We covered some of this last night in the discipleship course. The Spirit of the living God goes throughout the earth. The Bible says that he was given to bring you the word of Jesus and the word of the Father. He was given to you to keep you from harm. He comes and brings the word to you when you need deliverance, when you need to hear things. Just like that example that I gave about Jesus said, go to the doctor. Well, who gave me that? The Holy Spirit. And what was the result? I got healed. I could have bowed up and said, he didn't heal me. I hate God. That's it. I'm finished with God's kingdom. I mean, you can do things like that. You can just walk away. But the Holy Spirit goes around and brings you the words of Jesus and speak things into your heart. And then when it happens, you have a choice on who you're going to listen to. Now, what we talked about last night is real simple teaching, so we're going to touch on that. Because take, for example, you have a 16-year-old girl, and she's dating a 19-year-old boy, and she's a Christian, the 19-year-old boy is not. All you guys were young once, some of you are young now. You can remember your hormones are raging wild if you can think back to that time. And, you know, girls, they like affection. They want to be hugged. That's the way God designed them, quite frankly. They like the attention of a young man. And the young man, you know, is going a little bit too far, and the Holy Spirit shows up and brings her the Word of God. That is true. That's exactly what will happen. That is exactly what will happen. The Word of God will come to her and say something like, you need to flee. You need to get up and go. And then she has a decision to make. I really like where I'm at. All this is feeling good, and it's, you know, I'm enjoying this embrace. Or she can go, oh, the Lord just talked to me. The Lord's faithful. He will do that. That's exactly what this Bible says. And she may not even realize that was Jesus, but that's why we're talking about this. I want to train our ears so we'll know that he brings us. And if she agrees with that, and then she says, I'm sorry, I have to go home. And she calls her daddy because he said, hey, if anything weird happens, just call me. I don't care what time of night it is. I'll come get you. God has provided a way of escape. Does not the Bible say he will provide a way of escape? He will. Does not the Bible say he will not tempt you beyond your ability to endure? He will. Now guess what? You might go, well, I failed. What happened? No. The Word of God came to you, and then you chose to do your own thing. So this sound mind that we're talking about and this self-discipline is the helper that comes to us in our hour of need. It's a spirit, the Spirit of the living God, who goes throughout the earth and is sent by God to bring you the Word of God when you need it most. The question is, are you going to listen to it? And the more you listen to it, the more you'll understand that he's talking to you on a regular basis. Because he does. He says, I bring the words of Jesus, I bring the word of God, and I make it known unto you, and I will tell you what is yet to come. I have much more to tell you, says the Spirit of the living God, but you're not able to contain it all now. What does that mean? That means there's no reason for him to give you full disclosure of everything in God's kingdom at one time because you can't contain it anyway. He's going to bring you what you need when you need it. And when you say yes to that situation, then you're going to walk in God's discipline and you're going to walk in God's power because you've believed the Word of God. I remember little things like when I first started walking with God. I was painting a house for a sister. It was blazing hot, just a really bad day. And blazing hot, and I'm out there just being nice with a couple other brothers painting this house. And she walks by me and makes a comment, and I make another comment. It wasn't rude, but it went in her wrong. And the Holy Spirit says, you need to go tell her you're sorry and explain what you said. Now, that's what he'll do. What is that? That's the love of God. God doesn't want her to be offended, nor did he want her to be hurt and set aside. And I present to you, those things happen to you on a regular basis. If we learn to become sensitive to when he's talking to us, then you have an opportunity to obey. Hey, there's a person over there in the store. You should go over and ask them if they need any help. You may end up praying for them. You don't know what's going to happen. We have to learn to listen. Now we see that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, he's going to remind us of the things that Jesus spoke while on earth. This is how we'll be able to walk a disciplined life with God. He desires that we bring our flesh, our soul, into subjection to the will of God, because we are his hands and feet. I don't know why he set it up this way. It just blows my mind. Why in the world would God want to take sinful creatures and present the gospel all over the world, salvation to man through sinful creatures? I don't know. But that's what he did. And we are his hands and feet. So quite frankly, this will test a few people. A lot of people that have been around me have heard it. This will test a few people, though. God needs you as much as you need God. Why do I say that? Because you are his hands and feet. The gospel is not going to get spread to your neighbor, to your classmate, to your spouse, to your friends. The gospel is not going to get spread unless you spread it. It's going to shrivel up and die. We are his hands and feet. So we need to be hearing his voice. We need to be walking in the power of the living God, which is the Word of God. So when the Holy Spirit speaks the Word of God to us, then that Word of God becomes flesh and calls things into being that are not as though they are when we speak them into existence. So it goes on to say that the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish every argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. You have to learn to do that in your own life first, because we have been trained by the media. We've been trained by our friends, by our parents. We've been trained by all these people on how to walk on the face of this earth. And most of the time, it's contrary to God's kingdom. So quite frankly, he is changing our minds so we will think like him. And then he puts his word in us when we need to go forth. And he tells you to take captive those thoughts, those unclean thoughts that would invade your life and try to stop you from walking with God, or tell you that you're not worthy enough to walk with God. Is that the truth of God? No, that's the lie. But those kind of thoughts plague many, many believers. The truth of God is, he loves you. He gave himself for you. The truth of God is, all your sins are forgiven. The truth of God is, you are a prince and a king and a high priest in the kingdom of God. You might as well start believing it. That's what Jesus says about you. He has paid the price for everything you need for life and godliness. He's provided it all to you, but he tells you to wash your mind with the things of the living God, so you will not walk contrary to God's kingdom. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. This is how love is made complete among us, that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Isn't that cool? Remember, fear involved torment and judgment. But he's saying here, this is 1 Corinthians 4:17, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we would have confidence on the day of judgment. God wants you to know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He wants you to clearly understand that. Because if you know that you know you're a child of God, then you're not walking in some kind of unholy fear that is constantly shipwrecking your faith. Because the enemy came to rob, kill, and destroy, and he will do everything in his power to prevent you from believing God's word. I'm going to present something to you. When Jesus came on the scene, guys, remember that he was 100% man. And he was 100% God. It's one of those things that you can't really understand. But he was 100% man. So he studied the Word and read the Word, and I believe that his fleshly part of his being realized, oh my gosh, I'm the Son of God. I know that I'm stretching a little bit, but just stay with me for a second. And then he boldly went into the synagogue and said, let me look that up because I can't quote that from my memory. See, Jesus was a perfect demonstration of how God wants our faith to be. Now listen to what he said when he went in the synagogue. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, the recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So his man, his flesh, came to a place where he understand, my gosh, I'm the Son of God. And he went forth in power. Now get this. Now you go, Jack, you're really stretching it. Maybe, maybe not. So listen to this. There was also Peter. Peter one day realized, you know, Jesus himself told me, upon this rock I will build the church. He finally believed that and started going out acting accordingly. There was the Apostle Paul. He was knocked off the horse, and God said, I want you to be an apostle to the Gentiles. He received it in his heart because the Holy Spirit spoke it to him. He believed it. He acted upon it, and it changed his life forever. And now we have more than one-third of the New Testament. He led many, many people to Christ. The point I'm trying to make is the power of believing God when he speaks to your spirit. It starts by understanding who you are in Christ. When the Lord comes and encourages your heart and said, I love you, my daughter, my child. I'm not against you. I'm for you. You're a princess in my kingdom. I don't hold anything against you. I embrace you. I love you. And he tells the young man, you're a young man of God. You're a high priest of God. You have to start believing those things, because when you start aligning yourself with the Word of God, the power of God starts flowing out of you. And then you can get to a place where he takes you in a little bit deeper, and he starts telling you things like he told Peter and Paul, and then they go out and start changing the world for God's kingdom. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you want to lay that foundation of faith, lay that foundation of hearing God's word, and then the power of God will reside in you. You will learn to access it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and you'll be hearing those words more often. And then when you hear them, you'll act upon them, and you'll be calling things into being that are not as though they are. Another real poor example in my own life was I was over there worshiping God. I'd walked with God maybe 2 years. Now, keep in mind, I couldn't talk in front of people if I had to. They tried to get me to do that in college, the first year of college, and I shook for 3 minutes like this and said 3 words. I was horrified. Nobody laughed at me because my name is Adams, so they had to go after me. But I mean, 3 minutes. And I'm standing over there, and God says, you're going to preach the gospel. I'm just foolish enough, and I encourage you to be foolish enough. I encourage you to be foolish enough to believe him. He says, you're going to preach the gospel. Wow. A little guy that could not read worth a flip, read about a fourth grade level, couldn't speak in front of people. And I spoke to Pastor David. I said, God's called me to preach, brother. He said, how's next Sunday? I was in a good church. So let me tell you how that started. I got up in front of the congregation, and I preached about 5 minutes, my whole sermon. Genesis to Revelation, 5 minutes flat. And it was horrible. But it doesn't matter that it was horrible. Why? Because God is the one who told me to get on that horse. And I knew I would get on that horse over and over and over again. So it doesn't matter what he calls you to do. If he called you to do it, he will provide. If you fall flat on your face, what is Jesus doing? Brother, go to your room. I love you. I'm just kidding. No. When he called Peter out of the boat, and Peter had responded in faith and started walking on water, and then Peter sank, what did Jesus do? Reached out his hand and lifted him up. Brothers and sisters, we can't fail. Because this Savior that we know and love is going to lift you up every time you fail. He's going to dust you off and say, go for it again. And not only that, what does it say? The foolishness of preaching is going to change men's hearts. The foolishness of preaching. Why? Because it's the Spirit of the living God moving throughout the room. And I tell you, you'll preach one thing and that sister over there will hear something totally different. Come up and talk to you about it. Wow, I didn't preach that. That must have been God. And God will just change your heart and heal her. Say, man, that's what I heard. I didn't say that. That's okay. And sometimes when you're preaching, you preach things you don't have a clue that you were planning on preaching. It just comes out. Wow. It's powerful, but you didn't know you were going to say it. That's the way the Spirit of God operates. So my encouragement to you is we have full access to the power of God through Jesus, the full love of God through Jesus, and the full discipline of God through Jesus. The Holy Spirit is going to do His job. He's going to bring you the Word of God when you're sick. He's going to bring you the Word of God when you're lonely. He's going to bring you the Word of God when you're hurting, when you're in pain emotionally. He's going to bring you the Word of God when you're tempted beyond measure. He will do His job. Why? Because He's God and He says, I am faithful. I am faithful. And He will do it. So all of these things that I'm bringing to your attention, I'm stirring them up within you so you will know this is how He works. And when He works that way in your life, you'll go, oh, the Lord just spoke to me. Instead of, I never hear God's voice. You hear God's voice all the time. Train yourself to be sensitive. Oh, that was the Lord. That's what that crazy preacher man said. What? Wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that you're hearing God's voice all the time. And when you hear God's voice, then embrace it with faith and step and move in that direction. If you don't mix it with faith, if I had not got up and preached practically immediately, I probably would have never preached again. By God's grace, I've preached all over the world. Those two sisters have been with me before. Love y'all. There's a special bond when you go on a missionary trip with somebody. I've preached all over the world. A guy that had a ninth grade education and could not read more than a fourth grade level, could not speak in front of people. God's given me grace to preach all over the world because he told me that I was going to do it. And so I do it. So believe him, trust him, listen to him, and then when he speaks, obey him. And then you will have the discipline of God, and then you'll see God's power go forth in the name of Jesus. So we're going to come to him in prayer for a couple minutes. I ran about 4 minutes late. Thank you for bearing with me. The foolishness of preaching will change you. So if I didn't preach a good message, it doesn't matter. God's Holy Spirit will bear witness to what is truth. Love you. Hallelujah. I'm going to remain up here after I pray in case anybody does want prayer. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that it is your holy word, which is the power of God. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus. He became flesh, Lord God. then Father, we just thank you that he loves us, that he forgave us, that he's provided everything we need for life and godliness, so we can walk in the love of God, we can walk in the power of God, and we can walk in the discipline of God. Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit moves throughout the earth and does what he does so well. Bring us God's lovely, lovely word. We worship you. We ask that you come. We ask that you come. We thank you. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you go through the room and touch hearts. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, you are so good. You are so good. You know I was teasing, right, brother? All right. Love you. You are so good. Father, you are so good. You are so good to me. You are so good to all of us, Lord God. You are so good. If y'all don't mind, I just feel compelled to walk through the building and touch everybody on the head. If y'all are okay with that, it'll take about 3 minutes. And I'm going to just ask that God seal his word in our heart. Father, we ask that you do. Seal your word, Father. Bring your healing. Bring your deliverance, Lord God. You are so good to us. You bear witness to the truth, Lord God. You're such a wonderful God. Lord Jesus, we embrace you. We worship you. You see, Jesus is the express image of God the Father. The express image. And when you take on his nature, you show forth God's glory. And we have the right to take on his nature because we were created in his image. And when he washed us and he cleansed us, he embraced us. So you remember when God spoke from heaven and he said, "This is my beloved Son, and I am well pleased." And the Lord would speak that to you right now from heaven. You are his beloved son or daughter, and he is very well pleased. Well, you might say, "Well, Jack, you don't know me. My mind travels in places that are not good at times." And the Lord would say to you, "You are my child. You are my beloved son." Just like a good father on the earth would do, he would say, "Come to me. Jump up in my lap. I'll love you. I'll forgive you. I will instruct you. No different am I," says the Lord. "I will love you. Jump up in my lap. I will love you. I will forgive you. I will heal you. I will equip you. Everything you need in the heavenly realms to walk this walk with me is provided in the person of Jesus Christ." Because you see, he took all the principalities and powers, all the laws that were written against your life, everything that said it's impossible to walk with God, he nailed it to the cross, and the price has been paid. He made a public spectacle of the enemy. He triumphed over the enemy. And that triumph that he has attained, that he has acquired for you and I, he gave to us when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You see, nothing could prevent you from walking with God. There are spirits in the world that would come to you and say, "You can't walk with God." That is a lie from the pit of hell. Nothing in all creation can stop you from walking with the living God if you so choose. Nothing can. Because God's love is so powerful that all your sins, though it's mind-boggling, they've been washed away. And I'm talking about past ones, I'm talking about present ones, and I'm talking about future ones. I don't really understand all that myself, but it's true. It's true. That price has been paid because the law and its written code is now not against you. All you have to do is embrace Jesus. Embrace Jesus. Put your faith in him, because he's walking through the room and he's loving you. And he's saying, you can walk with me. If you will give your heart to me today, embrace what I have for you, I will set you free. Because it's my desire, says the Lord, for you to walk free of every hindrance, every bondage on this earth. It is my desire that you be free. And I have conquered death and sin in your life. They do not have power over you anymore. They do not. You do not have to be afraid to die. You do not have to be afraid of the sin that has ensnarled you, because it's been severed at the root. Though you may be tempted by it and may even fall into it at times, the root has been severed, so the power of it no longer has power over you, and you start coming freer and freer as you walk in God's kingdom. It does not have hold of you anymore. So I tell you, embrace me, says Jesus. Embrace me. Because I am giving you everything you need. I continue to do it so that you can be free. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Love you guys.